Can you hear? Is that up high enough? Does that say yes? Well, let me just say this morning, it's good to be home. I know I've said that many times, and there's a lot of new faces here, people I haven't seen before, and it's good to see you. When I say it's good to be home, those that do know me remember that as a young child, I came here to as an assembly and as Sunday school, and Mr. Lynn was a lot younger then. So was I guess. But we had a great time, and I know that many that were in the assembly then are called home, and they're with the Lord today. And some have been for many, many years. But I had a great time with them. They were great mentors to me, and I have a special place in here for all of you. It's my opinion that God has placed me here as a child. There were some difficult things in my own life personally, and God used many people in this assembly to help me and teach me. And sometimes I sat here and acted like I wasn't paying attention, but you know what? God has a way of when it goes in and it settles in, and then sometimes later in your life, you remember it. And the person might even be gone to be with the Lord now, but it was something they said or did that resonates in your life. This morning we had a most blessed time remembering the Lord. And I don't know if all of you here that are present now come to the morning meeting, but it's a wonderful privilege. And I say it's a privilege because the Lord Jesus himself instituted that feast, and he said, I want you to come and remember me. And so if you've never done that, I would at least encourage you to come out to that meeting. It's a most solemn time. The Lord Jesus says in his word, and this isn't what I'm going to speak on today, but he says in his word, wherever two or three gather to my name, and that's what we do, we gather to him, not to anybody or any building, we gather to him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to be there. And he is. And I felt his presence here this morning, and I trust that you did too. 3 weeks ago when Sam called me to ask if I would come, I think he asked me if I was going to stay at night, and I said no, but there might be a mistake. So I know the announcement was made that I would be here. And you're welcome to come, but I won't be here. But as I thought when he asked me to speak, I always ask the Lord, Lord, give me something that is good for me and good for them. And I believe he has. And let me just say this. All the stories that were told this morning, the scriptures that were read, the hymns that were sung, even in here in Sunday school, I believe God orchestrated it all for us to talk about some things this morning. How many of you have ever hoped for anything in life? That's good. I'm pretty sure it's a human thing, we hope. I know when I was a young boy, there was a lot of things I hoped for. And some I got and some I didn't. I remember waiting for family members to come for maybe Thanksgiving dinner or a holiday. And I remember when Sam and Lil moved to Chicago, I couldn't wait for them to come back. And so we always hoped they'd be there. And sometimes they showed up and sometimes they couldn't. And so hope for us really is wishful thinking. That's really all it is. And the reason it's wishful, it's at the desire of the heart, and maybe there's nothing wrong with that desire even. But the point is that you and I, we got no power to make that happen. I couldn't go to Chicago and drag Sam over for dinner, I don't think, could I? I don't think he'd let me. But you get the point. But in Scripture, the same word is used. And sometimes when we read the Bible and we'll read a word like that and say, wow, I wish that would happen. But in God's word, that word means something different. And I'm just going to give you a simple explanation, so hopefully you can remember that. Hope really means a confident expectation. A confident expectation. And that's the reason we can say that is because it's out of me. It's out of you. It's not based on you. It's not based on your wish, your desire, your wanting, whatever it might be. It's not based on that. It's based on someone else who can do what I said I couldn't do. Someone who has authority. Someone who has power. Someone who can make what he says will happen, happen. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, hope. And I want to look at it in three different aspects: a blessed hope, a purifying hope, and a glorious hope. And the first one is going to be in John's Gospel, chapter 14, we're going to look at. While you're turning to that, I'm going to just share a little story with you. It's small, but in my profession, I used to go, or had opportunity to go to a lot of homes where death had occurred. And part of it was to make sure that there was no foul play, to do an investigation, that there were the death occurred as a result of natural causes and so on. And I remember entering a home one night, and the home was very darkly lit, and an elderly lady had passed away in bed, and at the time she was under hospice care. The reason I'm telling you this story is because there was something the daughter said. My partner and I, he usually referred these things to me to handle the death issues because he didn't like to face it or talk about it. But for me, I looked at it, and I always looked at death as a soul has left this earth. And I don't always know, only the Lord really knows, where that soul went. But it's one of two places. But I walked into the bedroom, and this lady was all covered up on the bed, and the light was real dim, and I walked in, and I noticed the daughter of this lady was kneeling next to the bed. And she had some beads there, and she was praying. And so I waited for a moment, and she finished and looked back at me, and I told her why I was there and so on. And I said, was this your mom? And she said, yes. And I said, was she born again? And she said, oh, she was a great lady. And I said, well, is she with the Lord? And she says, I hope so. My heart sunk. Death had already occurred. I hope so. That's not the time. If you're waiting for that, or you're hoping someone else will pray that God will accept you after you're gone, my friend, you're delusional. You're on a bad, bad course. And it's dangerous. You need to know now, because there's nothing I can do or any of your closest friends can do for you once that happens. I don't know everybody here in terms of whether you've ever accepted the Lord as your Savior. But we'll talk a little bit as we go along here. Some of the things are very familiar to you. Some of them you have heard maybe many times. And when I was preparing this, I thought about the hymn that I think it was Dottie Rambo. I think she wrote it many years ago. Remind me, dear Lord. Remind me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Why is that necessary? I think if I don't understand where I came from, as we had in the morning meeting this morning, we were unworthy. And that's insufficient, really, of a phrase to use in terms of my condition. I didn't even like God. I didn't look for Him. I didn't want Him. I was of my father, the devil. That's what the Word of God says. I was without hope. And I'm just going to read a verse. You don't need to turn to it, but Paul writes it in Ephesians 2. And he's talking that at that time in the past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Got no benefits there. I wasn't Jewish. And strangers from the covenants. None of those applied to me. Having no hope and without God in the world. God says all of us have sinned, and the price to be paid for that is death. Not just a physical death, but an eternal separation from God. That's what God says, and He's in charge. He's the Creator. So you're going to say, well, how do I get this then? You know, if I'm without hope, what's going to happen? Some people try to pray people into heaven. Some people try to give money, do good things. But God says, no, it's not of works. It's not your good deeds. It's not your good looks, your brain, your degrees. Doesn't matter. There's no way out for you. But here's the greatest thing. God so loved the world. Get that. God so loved the world. And I'm going to tell you, I don't consider myself a loving person. And I certainly know all the things that I've done in my life. And maybe I can't recall all the sins, evil thoughts, mean things that I've said or done. All of those things. And yet God said, I love David. And He says to you, I love each one of you, every one of you. And you are so precious to me. You say, how can that be? I just do. And you can't fix it. But I'm going to fix it for you. And that's where we come to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You're without hope. You think there's no way. God won't accept you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'll give you the context of this. The Lord was talking to Peter, and Peter hadn't yet denied the Lord Jesus, but he's showboating, if you will. He's telling the Lord how faithful he is, and he's going to follow him to the end. And the Lord sits him down and says, Peter, I want you to trust me. There's some things you don't even know yet, Peter. And Peter would have denied that he would ever deny the Lord, but he did later. But prior to that, prior to his even denying the Lord knew it. The Lord knew it. And he sat down with Peter. And he says, Peter, you believe in God. You're one of my disciples. I want you to trust me too. I'm going somewhere. You can't come. And I'm going to prepare a place. And listen to how individual he says. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Peter. Now that applies to all of us. But listen to that. As Peter was sitting there. I'm going to go, Peter. And I'm going somewhere that you're barred from. And so is all of humanity. You cannot come with me now. But I'm going to prepare a place. And not just that, Peter. After I prepare it, guess what? I'm coming back for you. And you. And me. Does that not give you hope? You were lost. You're a sinner. You got no way out of this. And yet God Himself provides the Lamb in the Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus willingly. We had some beautiful thoughts this morning. The cup of woe. the cup the Lord Jesus took there at the cross of Calvary to pay my debt and to pay your debt, to prepare this place. I couldn't go to heaven. I had sin, a sin nature, and I had sin actions that I committed, and they kept me out. And there was a veil there. You were not allowed. But the Lord Jesus, I'm going to prepare it. And in the garden, someone read this morning, sweat as it were, great drops of blood in anticipation of what he was going to do. And it wasn't just hanging on a cross, even though that was shameful. And Scripture says that everybody that hangs on a cross is cursed. So look what he did. But you know the worst part? When God, not as his Father, but as God, hid his face from his Son and poured all that anger and hatred for sin on the Lord Jesus. Guess who for? You and me. Can you get it? I can't. I just got to say, Lord, you're special. I could never do something like that. That's not in my nature. But it's in his. Blood had to be shed. A life had to be given up. That was the only thing that a holy and a righteous God would accept. Nothing less. And you remember way back in the beginning of ages here, when Adam and Eve were created, Abel brought a lamb. Cain brought the fruit of his own labors. And God says, not acceptable. Not by works. You know why? You and I'd take credit for it. Especially if you didn't make it. I'd say, look at me. God likes me better. I did better works than you. I got in, you didn't. But he takes all that away. Because he can't accept that. You're a sinner by nature. And so am I. And so he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it's not just preparing it, Peter. I'm coming back personally. I'm not sending angels. I'm not going to send a representative of some other sort. I, myself, the one you're looking at right now, Peter, I'm coming back. Now, if you trust him as Savior, and you're here this morning, let me just say you got a fantastic hope, and I hope you enjoy that. I hope you appreciate it to its fullest. There was a time in my life, I can tell you, that I appreciated it. I appreciated having my sins forgiven, but I didn't live in a way that was really showing that appreciation. That's the next one we're going to go to. And that's going to be in 1 John 3. I'm going to share something about the verses in John 14, just so you get the connection. When the Lord Jesus used that illustration there of going to prepare a house, in those times, when someone would go and, what's the word I want, Marcus, espouse themselves, like being engaged to someone to be married, oftentimes what would happen is the gentleman would go to the woman and say, I really want to marry you, and she would say yes and whatever else had to transact there. But then the groom would go home. And you know what he would do? Sometimes on the father's property, he would either build his own or add on to the father's house and make a room for his new bride. When the Lord Jesus uses that language, Peter could understand that. Because, wow, I get it. I'm going to be married to you. I'm your bride. You're my groom. You're going to go prepare a house, and then you're going to come back and get me, and then I'm going to go with you to your house. That was the plan. Now we come to 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, listen to this, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whew. It's easy to just take salvation and go on living the way I want to live. But that's really not what God wants. Maybe somebody's going to say, well, we're not under law. Aren't we under grace? Yes, you are. And once you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're eternally secure. Romans 8 says, verse 1, there's no judgment, no condemnation. The last part of the chapter says, no separation. But in the middle, in 8:28, is it? All things are working together for good. Why? So that you and I might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. You and I are his representatives. He's home. The home is prepared. It's ready. He just hasn't returned. And the fact that he hasn't returned can make me lazy. I might say, well, man, my grandpa used to think he was coming any day, and he didn't come for him, and he's been with the Lord 60 years. So-and-so believed it, and I believe he's coming, but man, it's been a long time. I'll just wait it out. I'll get married and have kids and get a career and earn a lot of money or do whatever. But that's not what God wants. In my life here, he wants me to be, and I say this respectfully, a little Christ. He wants me to act like he did when he was here. Because you know why? He wants more people home. And you're the only one that can convey the message. So if we're doing what we shouldn't be doing, and Paul says, what, are you going to just get saved and keep on sinning? He says, God forbid you would do such a thing. And how in you and I, how could we say that from our heart? We can come here, we can remember the Lord, we can stand up and pray laudable words, we can sing wonderful words in some of these hymns that extol the preciousness of the Lord and his sufferings and all that he is. How could I do that and say, yes, Lord, I love you, and yet really go do what I want to do and bring shame to his name? When I was a kid, there was teaching that we had, and I don't hear about it so much anymore, but there was two things, our standing and our state. And we need to mentally just keep that clear, because my standing, as I said before, when I accept the Lord as my Savior, that's done. Not gonna separate me even if I do sin. But my state is my current ongoing condition at any given moment in time. And it's important for me to separate those two. So what happens if my state's bad? I lose reward. I lose fellowship with the Lord and with the Father. And that's what John's epistle here is a lot about. It's that fellowship. I said to you about the groom going and fixing the house up for the bride. would it be appropriate for me, as Trudy's husband, to love someone else? If you're married, would you want your wife, you go away, and while you're gone, she gets affection for another? Why, you'd be angry. We would be upset. But in like manner, do we not do that to the Lord sometimes? He's loved us. He's given his life. And may I say, at a terrible cost. It wasn't just that he took a pill and died. No, he was crucified. He was made sin. And you're going to have affections for the things that he died for? The things that he died to redeem you from? And you and I are going to go indulge in these things and act like it doesn't matter? It does matter. And I don't stand up here telling you, look at me. Here's a guy who's done it all right all his life. No. These things speak to me again and again and again, even as I prepared for today. Lord, what's inside of me? Where's my affection? What is it, Lord, that's keeping me from having true fellowship with you? You've paid a tremendous price. And I don't want to front you off. I don't want to shame you. Is it sobering to you? And this is something you can do yourself. This is something God actually asks you to do yourself. Purify yourself. You're born again. You have a new nature. You have the mind of Christ. That's what we're told. You have the Spirit of God living here. That's all the power you need. You have the Word of God. What's the problem? For me, my problem was I didn't read. Not like I should have. You read a calendar here and there. You read a chapter here and there. Maybe you read some other books and not the Bible. That's not sufficient. If you want to know what your husband or wife likes and doesn't like, you need to communicate with them. If you don't, there's no way you're going to satisfy them. They may be partially happy, but you're going to be messing up all the time. You're going to be doing things you shouldn't be doing and making her mad or making him mad. And then when that happens, then the communication is frayed a little and we got other issues. It's really not hard. We make it complicated, but it's really not hard. What it really comes down to is I want to do what I want to do. Let's just admit it. If I don't obey God, it's because I choose to do something else. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame Satan. Don't blame nothing. Just blame David. Period. And the sooner I do that in my life, admit that I'm a vile man, that my nature was so anti-God and ugly, and yet he reached down and picked me out of the miry clay and set me up, cleaned me off, gave me a robe of righteousness. And David, get going now. You get out there and you tell others about me. You show them how to be a good dad. You show them how to be a good brother. Show them how to be a good neighbor. Show them how to be a good boss at work. Show them how to be a good employee. Show them how to be a good student in school. Show them how, David, show them how I would do it. And if any of you lack wisdom in that area, ask of God. He gives it to all men liberally. So what can I say? I have no excuse. I'm going to read you a little article if you don't mind. It was in a devotion I had. If the hope of heaven does not fill and thrill your heart, don't be surprised if at some time God takes you into the desert. That means off somewhere else, all by yourself, and whispers to you a message like this. Here's his message. I designed you for a relationship with myself, a relationship of shalom, of perfect peace, uninterrupted by pain, anxiety, ill health, or death. I have reserved for you a home, the beauty of which is beyond the utmost stretch of your imagination. You already have the title deeds, but wait till you see what it's really like. This is why you were in the desert. You must come to realize that you should not react with anger towards those who let you down or succumb to overwhelming disappointment when things don't go the way you think they should go. Instead, remember that the day is coming. This is your hope. The day is coming when all will be light and love. Let the ache you feel towards me, let it lead you to my heart and higher towards heaven. When the desert convinces you of the need to keep your eyes fixed on your home in heaven, that's why he took you out there. When you're convinced being out there that's why, you'll find that life will never be the same. I know it works. It's just hard to do it all the time. We sang today about being in the body of Christ. That's why we need each other. All the members working and helping. There's times you see me do something, you need to come over and shape up, buddy. And I need to do the same to you. If we're a real family, that's what we do. We help one another. I don't go and say, Peter, you are messed up, pal. I don't want anything to do with you. That's not what God says. Peter, I love you, and I want to help you. Do you mind if I say something to you? And you share that and say, Peter, I need you. You're my brother in Christ. I need you to stand with me for the faith. I need you to show other people to the Lord just like you need me. And so we love one another. That's what we sang about, right? And we help one another. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes I might go to you and you say, get away from me. I don't want to hear you. You know what I can do then? I can run home and get on my knees. Or I can call Marcus and tell him how bad he is. Get on your knees. It works. There were times I was angry at God in my life. And I was mad at some other people too. And all of a sudden, I got older. And I saw, wow, you meant that for good, just like Joseph said. I looked at it and thought I was being shortchanged. But you were training me. You were setting me up to do this. And I resented it. I'm sorry, Lord. That's why I know it works. I don't always have 20/20 when it's happening. But if you get on your knees and you read this book, you'll get it eventually. And then you're spurred on to the next one. And life's not all a bed of roses. There's ups and downs. But remember this, you don't have to lose hope. You're just secure as the rock who provided it for you. So stand fast. I'm going to go to another. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 4. I I told you this is all familiar to you. 1 Thessalonians 4. And I'm going to read verse 18 first. This is a glorious hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's if you're saved. That's what it says. If you believe in your heart that he died and then God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it says, okay, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who sleep in Jesus, those that pass away before the rapture, before he actually comes. He's coming for them too, but he's coming for us. God will bring them with it. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Here we go. His word, not mine, not my interpretation. It's based on him. He's the one that's got the rights and the power to fulfill this. And he says, you who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord aren't going to go ahead of those that already passed away. The Lord himself, remember he said it? I'm going to come again, Peter. Me, not my angels, not some other representative. I'm not going to send Moses, nobody. Me, I'm coming. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remaining, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be at home with the Lord, the place that's prepared. I need to live with that in view. Since my last visit here, I know Mrs. Kimberly passed away. One by one, some of the saints of God are going away, those that I knew as a young child. My own mother, my father, my grandparents. I have one aunt left on my mother's side. The rest are all home with the Lord. And I don't begrudge them, because absent from the body, they're with him. And I can't tell you, because I haven't been there yet, but I'm telling you this, I know they're happy. And some wonderful friends of mine. I thought of Mrs. Kimberly as I drove her today, just thinking that she's with the Lord. And she was one of those that was very instrumental in my life, her and her husband, John. And I used to take the bus to the meeting here. I'd take the Grand River bus, get downtown Detroit, get on the tunnel bus, come here, and then we'd walk to Peary Avenue. And sometimes when we'd leave, it was raining, and John, Kimberly, and Fern, you boys want to ride? They'd drive me to the tunnel. Sometimes on Young People's Sunday, they invited us for dinner to their house, myself and a couple of my brothers, so that we could make it to Young People's. Some good memories. And I'm not putting them above anybody else. That's why I say, in my heart, there's a great love for this assembly, because you played a big role in my life, and I thank you for that. But she's with the Lord. Ed Vino's with the Lord. Uncle Bob and Aunt Dorcas, your mom and dad. Great relatives of mine also played a big part in my life. With the Lord. And that's part of the hope here too, right? Are you listening? Not to me. You listening? My sheep hear my voice, the Lord says. And he comes out of heaven to call us. It says the trump of God. I think that's the voice of God. It's going to be unbelievable. Out of the graves, all these bodies come. And all of this happens in just a twinkling of an eye. I was talking to my granddaughter when she was about 3 years old. She was sitting in the back seat of my car, and we were talking about the Lord's coming. And I says, the Bible says, Leah, it's a twinkling of an eye. And she said, like this, Grandpa? She's blinking like crazy. I said, faster than that. out of the grave in you and me. Imagine that. And on the way up, I'm going to see your mom and dad. And your mom and dad. And Ed. I could name them all. But that's not the focus. As great as that is, they all trusted the Lord too. But whoa, I see him. You said you'd come, and here you are. And I think I'm going to fall on my knees. I'm going to be so overwhelmed with the glory that he shows. And then I'm going to see that side, and I'm going to see those prints. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't live the life I should have. And I got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to kick me out of heaven, but I could lose reward. That's why it's important. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying today. For me and for you. It matters. It's going to be great. And after the judgment seat, God is going to wipe away all tears and all of those things. That's going to go away, and none of it's going to be remembered anymore. But in terms of what he gives me to do in heaven, it's going to matter as what I did down here. It matters, my friend. I'm going to read you this hymn and then I'll close. This is just what heaven means to me. It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night shall never be. It's a city where there's no storm clouds ever gather. Now this is just what heaven means to me. A place where there's no misunderstanding. Whew. No misunderstanding. And from all enmity and strife, we're free. No unkind words to wrong the heart are spoken. Now this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last I see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. Remember what I said? You're going to love seeing your uncle and your mom and your dad and whoever else. But then you're going to look at him and all these other loves flee. And when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng, not just us here in Windsor, from all over the world, and join the throng upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones? Listen to this. And crown Christ forever. Now this is just what heaven means to me. I hope this morning it's invigorated you. It did me as I was looking at all this. And I hope it lasts beyond today, that tomorrow will feel the same. But go back and read some of these verses and focus on that. If it wanes a little, just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to make it right today. Will you do that? And let me just say, if you're here today and you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave here without doing that. You have no hope. There's nothing you can do to satisfy a holy and righteous God. But I'm going to tell you this. If you bow your head before him, he'll welcome you home like you've never had a welcome before. And he'll make you his child. And he'll come and get you too someday when he comes back. Let's just bow our heads. Father, how grateful we are for your great love, that while we were still sinners, you commendeth your love toward us. And the Lord Jesus came into this scene and paid a price we could never pay. Father, we just say thank you today for a few moments to recall him, to remember him as he asked us to do, to just meditate on his greatness and your greatness. And Father, we want to thank you so much that you've highly exalted him. Even on several occasions, you opened up heaven and declared for many to hear, "This is my beloved Son." Father, we know you love him. And we know that even this morning he is seated at your right hand, waiting that moment when he comes to take us to his prepared home. Father, thank you for each one here. Help us, Father, to live a purifying life, a life that's pleasing to you. And Father, if somebody here hasn't said yes to salvation, to your gift, might they do so this morning, Father. Might they be convicted and just say, "Yes, I accept him as my Lord." Father, thanks again for each and every blessing, for being in your family. And we look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus takes us to be with himself. Bless us this day, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.